the Cannonball Adderley Quintet, the famous jive samba, starring, of course, Julian Cannonball Adderley, his brother Nat on cornet. Julian is, of course, on alto sax. Yusuf Lateef, Zarino on piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Louis Hayes on drums. This is from his 1962 album, Riverside. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Treece Lead. And we're going to talk some talk today. We start off with the fact, you know, every now and then I have to pat myself on the back because people are a bit hesitant to do it. So I have to do it myself. Self-service back patting. And it has to do with dealing with subjects long before people get to them, people in the media get to them. And one of those subjects, which I've been talking about for a long, long time, years, has been this Democratic Party and basically the plantation system that it runs, and yet it expects to get different results, very different results. And in the last day or two, I've been seeing articles about the very thing I've been talking about for years. One of the most undemocratic things that you could look at is the Democratic Party. You'll get an opportunity to see that at the next debate in a couple of days. And you see, this party doesn't look anything democratic. It's a white party. It's been a white party. Black support, you know, tote that barge and lift that bale. That's where blacks come in the Democratic Party. Except in recent years, as we have seen with Obama, it got to the point where they actually realized they have no other alternative but to sprinkle a little fairy dust in the midst of all of this and create the illusion that the Democratic Party is in fact democratic. You know, you see black faces, brown faces, you see Asians, you see evidence that the party has a more universal view as opposed to the Dixiecrat, the old Dixiecrat down home view and mentality. So this is what is going on. Now, how did this subject arise again with such significance? It's because of Donald Trump. No, this is how life works. You get help where you least expect it. Yes, Donald Trump has caused the media to raise questions about itself, of course, and the Democratic Party as a whole. Why? Because in this moment, when Congress is contemplating the possible removal of Donald Trump, he's up against a wall, it looks like he's done for. Guess what? A poll comes out saying he can take on and beat all of the top Democratic candidates put together. Maybe you didn't hear that. With all that is going on, he's facing impeachment, he's facing a trial, he's scorned and he is basically beaten to a pulp in terms of his public persona. Not that it's undeserved, but even in that condition, even in that weakened condition, Donald Trump could take on and beat all of the top Democratic candidates put together. This was a survey by USA Today and Suffolk University. They did a poll, and this is what the poll showed. It showed that Trump can defeat Vice President Joe Biden, the Democratic front runner, by at least 3 percentage points right now. He can beat Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders by 5 points right now. He can beat Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren by 8 points right now. And if you wanted to do a calculation based on some hypothetical head-to-head fight, Trump also beats Mayor Pete Buttigieg of South Bend, Indiana, by 10 points, and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg by 9. What does this suggest? It suggests that with all the stuff that's going on with Trump, all the things that are against him, his people are standing by him. They're firmly in his corner. His political base is with him, and he knows it. On the other hand, we have a Democratic Party in 2019, still not able to demonstrate to its base or its several bases that it is a party committed to what? Democracy. Yeah, that. It is still a bastion of whiteness. It still insists that only white people should have a really good shot at running for president. In this current crop, well, we see Kamala Harris has faded out, as she should. She had a disorganized campaign, and she really never forged any kind of bond relationship with regular people. You have Cory Booker, who is teetering on the brink. I mean, he is so on the brink, he might as well be over the edge. I mean, what's wrong with the Cory Booker candidacy that he can't do better than he's been doing? He's not doing. You have Julian Castro. I don't think anybody knows that he's running. And this, you could say, well, you know, he ought to be responsible for that. He ought to be able to get himself known. That's his responsibility. After all, nobody forced him to announce his candidacy. Well, you know, these are silly counterarguments. Because like anything else, when you have an institution, an organization that is capable of running, basically it's a corporation, right? It has all these functions like any other corporation has. Part of it would be, one assumes, supporting candidates, especially candidates that have some kind of promise. This party doesn't support its candidates. It is not interested in that. You want to run? you do your job, you raise your money, you do your thing. We can, you know, we'll shake hands when we see you before the debates. That's the extent of it. You're on your own. I've never seen a party so consistent in its contempt for its candidates. No help. It does. You don't get the sense that the party has, within its capacity, the ability to help people along, to give them, you know, a push so that they can succeed. Even if they don't win, the fact is, that seems to me to be the job of the party. You want your candidates to have the best possible chance of winning. And part of what the party ought to be about is having, you know, a think tank type help available so that people can, you know, come to the party and ask questions and get some cogent, helpful answers that would help them lead a successful campaign. Even if in the end they don't win, it should never be said that the candidates are basically on their own with this party, except when they're white. And in the case, let's say, of Hillary Clinton, oh, they bend backwards. Fundraisers and all kinds of ways that they can help the candidate. You have a decent shot with some of the candidates, and I don't know why they don't seem to get much help or recognition from this party. And this is one of the reasons, this is a principal reason that I stopped voting. I stopped it. So this is ridiculous. You want change, but not really. Obama came along as a kind of exception, but he had to perform certain calisthenics for the Democratic Party to appear to help him. He had to, for lack of a better term, he had to prove himself to be non-threatening, a non-threatening black. You know, a guy who knows how to use a knife and fork. He had to stand before the world and condemn Reverend Wright in Chicago, who taught him quite a bit about grassroots politics. And that man stood before the world and basically consigned Reverend Jeremiah Wright as an outcast, as somebody he personally, meaning Obama, will have nothing to do with. He had to perform. He had to demonstrate that he wasn't ever going to be too black. Not him. He kept his distance, and he made it official, he made it public, and he made it final. And that went a long way to help him. The Democratic Party establishment reached out and said, look who we have. We have such a nice young man. His hair is cut. He's got great teeth. What more you want? Only then did the Democratic Party, seeing how energized people of color were in supporting Obama, and they say, oh, we got a winner here. Let's act like it. But for the most part, from my position, from my point of view, the party eats its young. It destroys them. It gives them very little wiggle room. It gives them very little help. It gives them no real opportunity to compete. You're going to have a debate and everybody's white, and that does not make you embarrassed? You don't feel embarrassed about that? In 2019, you're not embarrassed about that. So my view is, look, you've been nice for too long. It's time to get unnice. This should never, ever be tolerated, not in 2019. Not after all the things that our constituencies have done, to just keep this party just breathing. And it routinely casts us aside, and we allow it to happen over and over and over again. The idea is to stop. To stop it. Look for other alternatives. But the basis here, we are still at square one with this party. It is not respectful. It is not grateful to people of color, and especially African Americans, for all that has been done to keep the party even existing. You have Deval Patrick running from Massachusetts, like I said, former governor of Massachusetts. Smart, capable, he has credentials. Great credentials, as a matter of fact. And you act like, no big deal. He doesn't get any special help. He doesn't get any special recognition. He doesn't get any push at all from this wretched party. All of the resources seem to have a priority for white candidates. They may not even be that good. So what use is this party? Why are people so loyal to it? Now, I'm bringing the contrast here, and for a specific reason. Here's Trump. He's a liar. He cheats at everything. He's crude. He misrepresents his capacity to do anything. All the time. He's all this and more. But look, he can take on the top Democrats all together right now and win. He is facing impeachment. He's facing ouster from his own office. He wouldn't be surprised if a bunch of guys in uniform show up at his office and say, Mr. Trump, we're here to accompany you out the door. And yet his people are standing by him. That's what the polls are showing. So what is it that Donald Trump knows? What is he doing that is causing this completely aberrant response by his political base? They know all the bad things about him, and they are bad. an administration that is in chaos. You've never seen this kind of chaos ever. Crammed with marginally competent people. He's a devoted practitioner of family first. Yes, they may not know anything, but they're there. As his senior advisors, they don't know. They don't know anything. But in this moment, this man, with all that is against him, and nobody really, if you have some kind of self-respect and dignity, you don't want to be associated with somebody like that. But people are standing solidly by him. His base is standing solidly by him. So what is it that they see in him? What is he doing? What does he know to do to maintain that bond of fidelity with everything that we know about this president? Everything that is known, which is not all that good. His base has not fallen off. Now, this recent poll is the latest in polls showing the same trend with Trump. He's not losing his base. The Democrats are, other parties are, but that is worth studying. We have to ask the question, what is he doing? What does he know to earn this loyalty? And why is it that after all these years, decades after decades, the Democratic Party can't figure it out? And it continues to insult its base and its candidates. It keeps treating them as less thans. It keeps reminding us that this is a white people's party and special kinds of white people. All right. Well, I put the idea out. So you will tell us, from your perspective, what is it that Trump knows? What is it that he's doing that earns him this remarkable loyalty? We take a break. 888-874-4888 when we come back, and you will answer the question. You tell us what it is that Trump is doing, what it is that Trump knows that keeps his political base fiercely loyal to him. We don't know. We'll know when you see. Right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. That was just a break to get you to assemble your thoughts, and hopefully you have. Jay from New York, you start us off. What is it that Trump knows? Hello, Jay? Our connection with Jay is kind of spotty. Jay, are you there? Wow, I don't hear him. So keep trying, Jay, but we're not hearing you. We're not connecting. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. We're trying to figure out, despite everything that has said, everything that we know, and it's not positive about Trump, everything, all the negatives, they're out there. Trump, at this moment, can beat any, if not all, of the leading candidates in the Democratic Party without a problem, according to these polls. What is the secret? Okay, I see a name. Oh, Ma'at, you're on the air.
I'm coming. Be right there. Yes, greetings to the beloved Utrice and PRN family.
Thank you.
It's very simple. I'm glad you gave us this analysis because I got to see this poll you're talking about. I hope you elaborate further. But it's white supremacy. This is sort of like the last gasp, if you will. I think a brother said that yesterday. Where people have this idea that they're a separate race. And so it's like a fear of an annihilation. And so that's why Trump is so beloved in spite of his compulsive lying and his crudeness and coarseness and profanity. That should have been one of the impeachment articles, as you were getting it yesterday.
How do you justify impeaching a president because he is coarse?
Well, that the way Ralph Nader put it, and I understand on Nader.com, he has 12 articles, and when I heard him on the radio one day, he said that putting the presidency in disrepute due to his foul-mouthed language, et cetera, et cetera. So that made a lot of sense, and it comes under high crimes and misdemeanors.
I don't know that that's true. I would disagree with that because you have to have a point of law. A person's behavior may be coarse, it may be objectionable, but does it cross the line into being unlawful or illegal?
No. That's not what, if you look into, because I heard a lot of reportage and of how the Constitution came together around impeachment. I heard a lot of the debate and what happened in what was put through in the Federalist Papers. High crimes and misdemeanors. And Ralph Nader, he's a longtime attorney, so this is something.
Yes, he is. But that doesn't mean he's right all the time.
No. But high crimes and misdemeanors has nothing
they
to do.
They still don't know
First
what
of
it
all,
means. What does high crimes and misdemeanors, what does that phrase mean?
They left that up to the Congress to establish, okay? They didn't, you know how the Republicans tried to say,
we're off topic. I want to know the answer to the question, what does Trump know? What is Trump doing that accounts for this unusual fidelity of his political base to him?
Well, some of them might be being blackmailed or have compromat on them just the same as Trump did. Remember that the Russians also took the...
Lord.
RNC emails.
Have mercy on me.
You've dismissed
it. Let's go directly to the question. What is he doing? What is the political secret here?
Again... They also might be in the clutches of Russia, okay? And this is a program that I heard earlier, WNYC. Lynn wine apple, and
all right,
she's done some
okay,
articles.
We're not getting you close to the answer today.
Well, that could be a reality, though.
Yeah, but this is the issue that I'm saying. You're telling me what everybody else is thinking. This program is about what you are thinking.
Yeah, well, you notice these white people have embraced Russia as white Christians is how they spin it.
I hate to say it, it's one of those things that they're pushing a lot now. The role of Russia and
exactly.
How Russia has basically sucked out everybody's brain, and everybody is doing Russia's will. I happen not to believe that. All right,
well,
you got to start it today.
Khalil
from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hi, hope everyone's well today.
Thank you. Hope you are too.
Yes,
what is Trump doing? What does he know?
Trump knows that America is more racist than they want to let on because it's not polite. That's a debase of it. He has figured out that he could tap into this backlash, white lash from the last president. Because we had to remember that it was intolerable for a lot of people in this country to have a black president and his family in that White House. That kind of basically shattered their whole...
But the Democratic Party made him go through some genuflections so as to put people at ease. He's not one of those blacks. He's a reasonable black.
Right.
You can talk...
He's clean
right.
and articulate.
He's a reasonable black guy.
you
and
know
he has nice teeth.
Oh, my God. Okay, so any of us who have ever had any white coworkers, I'm generalizing, but, you know, it happens because we talk. And when they get to know you and they figure out, well, you're not that much different than me, well, they say, oh, you know, well, you're different. And, you know, it just goes to show how much... we're not together as we would like to think we are. There are communities that are together, integrated, you know, around the nation. But for the most part, you know, the schools are segregated, therefore communities are segregated, and we don't know
much about it. But bring us close to an answer to the question.
Okay. And I'm going to build on something that Ma'at said. It is about white supremacy. It's about maintaining. Trump has figured out that his base will not erode because he hates the people, or he claims he hates the people that they hate. And it is this last gasp of white supremacy. But at the same time, you see, the Democratic Party is doing everything wrong. It's like they're just going through the motions. They are not serious. They are not serious. So the whole thing looks like a setup to me. Mike Perez is as weak as a sick snake. He has no backbone. You know, it's painful to watch, actually. They're making up rules as they go along. In other words, they started off wrong. To have 2,600 people running is ridiculous. They're supposed to work that stuff out behind closed doors in the beginning. And, you know, you start off with maybe 6 to 8 people.
But, you
when
know,
you're dealing,
this
mm-hmm.
has to be considered. It may not be Perez. It is what Perez was handed, this what he was given to work with. Perez inherited a very dysfunctional institution.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of all of that, he had no money. They gave him no money. It's like giving somebody a toothbrush and say, go clean the Empire State Building with it.
Well, really? So what did they expect him to do with no money?
I'm sorry?
What did they expect him to do with no resources?
Well, this is the thing. He agreed to do it. He agreed. He saw it as an opportunity, so he took it. All those given the so-called opportunity, like Keith Ellison and others, They saw opportunity. It took a while before it dawned on them. They gave him a sinking ship. He has no money. He doesn't have the staff. He doesn't have the wherewithal to do anything significant and or on his own. He has no opportunity to bring his own creativity to overhaul anything. So they stymied them when the party had been depleted of its resources.
You're talking about something that that the mainstream media is not addressing.
I know. I've been talking about it.
You are something. That's a very interesting observation.
So what is he supposed to do? How effective can you be when you don't have the tools to work with, when the party is not properly funding its operations? And therefore, it goes on to the candidates who are running. All of these candidates who are running deserve. And it's not about, you know, handing out goodies, but it seems to me this is the point of running under the Democratic Party banner, that you have an expectation that there will be some kind of help. It may come in the way of expertise. It may come in the way of helping with staging fundraisers or whatever it is the party can do to advance your cause, because you're running as a Democrat. Don't you deserve some kind of help, some push, some way of the party indicating that it sees itself as having a vested interest in your success? Why should Kamala Harris have to drop out? Yes, we know her organizational skills were really not that good. But as a candidate, she had potential. Which part of this party reached out to Kamala Harris and said, you know, you're really screwing up, but for the next 4 weeks, we're going to sit and I'm going to review your plan, and we're going to get you some kind of help, because it would be a great loss to the party, somebody who comes with these credentials, whether you like her or not, whether you're in favor of her or not. That's not the point. The point is she was salvageable.
I agree with you, but I have a question. I don't understand. What is the DNC doing with their resources, their money? What are they doing with it? They have money.
Yeah, but I am asking you, what resources? What resources does the DNC have to support any promising candidate? You let a Deval Patrick, who comes after such a successful record in Massachusetts, you leave him twisting in the wind? People, get out of the party. Get out.
You're making a heck of a point there with Deval Patrick, because you talk about someone who has a cross-cultural appeal, who's a professional. You know, he checks all the boxes. And like you said, where was the money to back him? Where was his bolster?
Or even let's say you give him a token support. You show up at one of his rallies or something like that. You don't even do that, and you see what potential you are hindering here, and you deliberate about it. That's not a party to belong to, not at all. Thanks, Khalil. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
I just got a couple of points I wanted to make. First, I wanted to address the question you asked about what's the secret. What I'm seeing and what I don't hear other people saying is that the secret that he has is that he is playing the outsider card extremely well.
Excellent
point. Outsider.
Excellent point. What is the advantage problem. Of that?
Now, the
and what is the relationship between that and his ability to hold on, or to have a very significant base hold on to him?
Okay. This is what it all comes down to. The majority of Americans in this country, the 99%, okay, you talk about the one, you've heard of the one percenters and all that. Well, 99% of Americans are living day by day, check by check. We don't identify with the elitist. We don't identify with Washington, D.C. Regular American people are out here struggling. And when you got somebody that acts all pompous and you know, okay, yeah, Trump acts all that, whatever. But he has this knack. And I think it was with him growing up in New York in the real estate business and working side by side with the workers building their buildings and getting that vibe, you know, that tune, that sense of the working man. And he's able to relay that, whether he's being genuine or not. That's not the point. The point is he's playing the role very well, and that's what he's using. And that's why you see a candidate like Joe Biden coming out, trying to act like the regular guy and all this and malarkey and I'm going to punch you out and all that. You see him trying to act like Trump, but it's not working because he's not being genuine. You see what I'm saying? Now, another point I wanted to make is that the reason I'm able to see that, okay, is because I'm not watching MSNBC, CNN, 24/7. People, stop watching the same one-way track way of thinking and open your minds. I mean, you got to open your mind. You were talking about the DNC being bankrupt, and the previous caller's like, wow, never knew that. Well, if you changed the channel at least one time, you would have known that the DNC went bankrupt under Obama, and Hillary Clinton hijacked the DNC, and it all came out. Donna Brazile said it, she basically did the investigation, and it all came down to Hillary Clinton funded the DNC, and she set the rules for the super delegates and stole it from Bernie. If you would just change the channel one time, you would know this stuff. But the problem is in America, we either a Republican or a Democrat. Oh, I'm watching Fox News only. Or I'm only watching MSNBC. People, you got to open your mind. You got to open your mind.
Okay. Good point. Good points that you have made here today. Thank you for calling and sharing these with us. Patricia from New York, you're on the air. What is it that Trump knows? What Trump is doing that keeps him relatively safe with his political base?
Good afternoon, you, Teresa, and good afternoon to the PRN family. You know, he's not the brightest bulb on the tree, but what he does know is people's psychology and their emotions. And this is nothing more than race-based politics. Trump understands that people will die. They will die. Look at states like West Virginia with the opium epidemic that has literally destroyed practically the entire state. He knows that in spite of the fact that they are economically bereft of an economy, that they will stick with him as long as he promotes his race-based policy. So even their own self-interest becomes secondary to their own survival. And he understands that. The other thing is, but it's a combination. It's what he knows and does and what the Democrats can't do. They seem to be inept at doing anything that promotes them. So, for example, in spite of all the evidence the Democrats have presented about what Trump has done, all that we heard during the House Judiciary trial Last weekend, Trump raised $31 million. That is obscene. How can you raise $31 million with all of this evidence of wrongdoing that you have done, but people will continue to come out and support you with their pocketbook? And then, of course, the Democrats continue to suffer from that chicanery around Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, because those criteria that they have now established that's going to create a lily-white debate or question and answer this week, this coming Thursday, directly is responsible for what they did with Hillary and Bernie. So it's a combination of what Trump understands and what the Democrats can never, and what the Democrats just don't seem to understand. They have no message, none. Not that their message lacks. They have no message. They have no cohesion. They have nothing to put up against this man. Remember, you asked us a few weeks ago if Donald Trump could win. And if you remember, I said he was going to win. Uh-huh. And here we are, yes, a few weeks later, talking about how he is going to win.
And in the midst of all of this craziness that should assure his defeat all the way around, he doesn't seem to be concerned that he will be defeated.
I wouldn't be concerned either if I was him. Forget what the Democrats are doing. Just do you. And everything that he's doing is working. I wouldn't be concerned either if I was him.
You see, this is what we find when we talk to each other at this level. And this is it's the truth. It's the truth. So I want to ask you one more question. And that is, how then should the average Democratic Party supporter, what should be running through that person's mind right now?
Where am I going to go? What rock am I going to hide under? But in all seriousness, get your affairs in order. It's going to be a rough 4 more years.
Do you think the party really is so thick-headed that it just, after all these years, we're still talking the same thing? We're still talking the same issues. What
you see, is Trump has literally changed the rules. They insist on playing by the same rules. And what Trump is saying, look, I don't care about your rules. I got my rules, and I'm playing by my rules. Again, he's doing him while they continue to act as though they are above reproach. Trump says, your rule's fine. You do what you do. I'm going to do what I do.
All right. Well, thank you, Patricia. Thanks a lot.
Have
E from
day.
Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you two.
Hello.
How are you today?
Okay.
We're all
running a little
there.
Tight on time, so.
Okay. If you just had studied Donald Trump's last 15 years of how they prepared him to become this president that he is, and I'm sure 15 years ago nobody expected Donald Trump to run for president and then become president, but if you studied it, you see the 12 years of his TV show, The Apprentice, he acted the same way as he's acting now. People got used to that behavior. They don't consider it strange or weird or insane. They're just used to this is the character that he is. He would go into the be a regular guest on all the talk shows. He had the 12-year show, The Apprentice, and he also would go into the ring on the World Federation Wrestling, and he would show up there on a regular basis, raising his hands, getting the audience to cheer and go crazy. And this went on for 15 years. This was the preparation for the position he has to perform now as President of the United States. It's a really funny joke to me, but as long as we're going to believe that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are separate entities, then we're going to just always be running in circles, chasing our tail like a dog chasing its tail. It's the system that is set up to make money for the rich and to keep us busy running around in the circle. And this is why Donald Trump is successful, because he made a foundation of a base that the system made for him. They gave him this vehicle of these TV shows and the wrestling thing. And I know to you it doesn't register, because you didn't watch that TV show. You didn't follow him on the late
shows. No, but I understand what you're saying. And you have an extremely strong point there. I would not argue your point at all. It is.
I mean, it's sort of like Marie Antoinette. Let the people eat cake.
Eat,
you know,
cake.
Give the people what they want. A strong stock market, a good economy, there's jobs. Everything seems great on the surface. But if you just went a little further, you would see the truth where it really is. But people aren't going to go below the surface. We're going to take everything we're told on the three major networks, what they're telling us, this is what's really going on. And as long as you listen to that, then you're going to be totally the opposite is what I'm going to be thinking of what they're telling me. I'm going to be thinking totally the opposite. But it seems that everybody on Hannity, on all these shows, and even on PRN, we're going by what they're telling us. And that's a dangerous, slippery slope. You know?
I agree. Thanks a lot, E, for calling in. Well,
let me
just give you an update. We have more people than time. So, but don't get exasperated. We'll come back tomorrow and finish it up. Because if you are listening to what people are saying, the bottom line truth is right there. They're telling us. They're pointing it out to us. This is the difference between thinking for yourself and having people do your thinking for you. It's very, very important. You grapple with an issue, and then you listen in community with others. And you get to a point where you understand more clearly. You may not understand perfectly, but you understand more clearly. And things would enter your mind, and you say, well, I didn't think about that. Well, yeah, this is important, because the thing that looks, you know, small and insignificant, you see how important it is. And this is what Ed was just talking about. This idea of acting more of a ringmaster at a circus than a president of a country. The idea is to go for the lowest common denominator, and you get the attention of everybody. They don't have time to, or they don't have an interest in going beyond what they are experiencing. They're experiencing just like the circus. You know, here's the ringmaster, and he's doing his thing, and he's running a three-ring circus. And you're mesmerized. You're not learning anything. You're just being entertained. And then comes a request. He puts out a request. And people, you know, comply. The request being, support me. I have earned your support. I have done special things to bring myself to you without any barriers whatsoever. But we still have another piece of this puzzle to put in place. We'll do that tomorrow. And we will also finish up with people who did not get on today. You know, I really feel very, very obligated about everybody getting their turn. So we'll also do that tomorrow. I want to thank you so much for the thoughtfulness that you bring to your presentations and your effort to help us all really understand a situation or a problem or an issue from your own perspective. It brings great value to to the program, in my view. So we'll say goodbye for now, and then we hook up again tomorrow and finish this up, because I have one more question to ask related to today's question. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.